points. Chris Dolme with a monumental effort here at Hisense Arena.
Leagues in the world outside the NBA. Hashtag see incredible. Hashtag see incredible.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL News Podcast. My mic is finally fixed and I'm joined by Aiden once again. What's going on, Aiden?
Nothing much. How you going?
Good, because my mic is now working. Last week it sounded horrible and I apologize to everyone that listened. Yeah,
he was using a KC microphone. It's okay.
Yeah, I was using a crappy backup microphone, but it's all good. We got the good one working again. But a lot to go through this week, actually, Aiden. The first one, I think the main topic here, Phoenix and United now relocating to Queensland. The current COVID situation in Melbourne is not looking too good. You think the Phoenix will still play that home game? I think is it 29th, the 29th on Saturday night. Do you think they still play that home game?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been told that we're planning to play it, but I've got no clue.
Yeah.
I'll find out more this afternoon. So everyone will find out in about 5 hours at least.
It sucks because we're two rounds away from the end of season. The season
is just close the season. Just cancel.
Yeah.
Just finish it.
Please just finish the season already. We've had enough. I'm sure even the players have had enough of the regular season. I mean, and now this comes and now. We've probably got to get another three rounds of basketball. Who knows, man?
But don't forget, every team has had to relocate some point during the season. So to the Melbourne clubs, fans complaining, don't freaking complain. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they should be
We had the whole cup here.
We
should not be complaining.
Well, everyone's been complaining. Melbourne's barely moved out of Victoria this year. So
there you go.
You know what?
That's my point.
As Melbourne fans, I don't think we would be too fast if they played their last couple home games in Queensland.
In the Gold Coast or something.
But as long as the semi-finals and final series are here, it's all good. But just want the regular season to end. But
they should have ended when Josh Giddey ended. When Josh Giddey ended his season, he's all done.
And now we move on to Bryce Cotton, who's injured as well. We might as well end the season now. Everything in place just ended right now.
I just want to see Kai Sato play, actually. Yeah. That's all I want to see. I want to see Kai Sato put on an LA jersey.
Bryce Cotton, we might as well move on to that. The big injury news. He did his quad, had to have surgery on it, and get the suffered a hematoma to his left quad, and says he'll miss the rest of the season. There was probably bleeding in his quad, so he had to get a bit of surgery on it. Thanks to some big screens, I think it was because of terrible screens from Matty Hodgson and Harry Frawling in that Brisbane
game. Did they drain the blood or?
No idea. But that's why we don't know the extent of the injury. We'll know who definitely missed the next couple of weeks. But Trevor Gleeson did say in an interview on Nine News Perth last night that he could be out. They're planning to not have him for the rest of the final series as well. So it's definitely huge.
Well, you have to, though. You have to plan for that. You can't not plan for that. If you're not
Exactly. The injury he has, I mean, if you've had that surgery really on anything, you've got to be out for a while. So either way, if he does play in the semi-final series against Phoenix, most likely Phoenix, he is not going to be 100%. But geez, it's big, isn't it? If he's not playing for the rest of the season,
he's not playing finals, so I don't know how Perth wins.
Yeah, the Perth Wildcats, they've got to find a way still. But
Mitch Jordan and Kevin White will step up. That's why he's going to step up.
Kevin White, geez.
Sorry, no, Lee Charles, not Kevin White, but anyway.
It's terrible news here. I mean, I was really excited to looking forward to the Melbourne Perth Grand Final series, but probably looking more like a Melbourne Phoenix final series in Gold Coast the way we're going at the moment.
We ain't ruling Perth out. We can never rule Perth out.
I know we can never rule Perth out, but Bryce Cotton gone. It's just, you know, we could be potentially seeing a Melbourne United South East Melbourne Phoenix series in the Gold Coast
Arena.
Well, I hope it's in Melbourne at least. Even if it's in the state netball and hockey centre, the old Tigers stomping ground, I don't care. I mean, Melbourne play home, and hopefully Phoenix play home this weekend. But yeah, Cotton injury, out for the regular season, potentially out for the rest of the final series. Big loss. Talking about Trevor Gleeson and what he said on the Nine News Perth, there was other big rumours during the past week that he's been offered a mammoth deal. We're talking about millions of dollars to coach in Asia. I believe it's in Japan. Aiden, what are your thoughts on this? Does he take the option to go to Japan?
It just seems like they're all going to Asia now. Like, what's going on? Who's
the money? The big money. Yeah, the money. Millions, mate. Millions.
See, I wish I was an agent that could pay that much money for someone, but you know, we're not going to talk about it. I don't feel like Trevor's. I don't know.
He's declined one in the past. Last couple of years, he declined a big deal to go to Asia, but.
I feel like it's a tendency. I don't feel like he's going to. He'll leave if they win the championship. That's what my mind is telling me. He'll leave if Perth win.
Either way, it just sounds a bit fishy how Ford goes to. He leaves Sydney, and Trevor Gleeson is the same week is getting a big offer to go to Asia. So
who's in Asia right now? Is it Paul Hanare? Oh.
Paul Hanare, Sean Dennis, Lemanis is going there. I mean, Gorgon went to China in the past. I mean, Asia's got the big money, Japan, China, they got the money over there to pay these coaches. But I think if Gleeson's gone, like, it's lock it in that Ford's got a coach there. So maybe that's the scenario. That's why he's leaving. That's why Ford left Perth while it's mutual, because he's getting the head coaching job at Perth.
You mean he left Sydney? He said Perth.
Yeah, he's getting the head coaching job at Perth. Yeah.
No, you said he was leaving Perth. I was like, what?
He's leaving Sydney, and he's got to get that head coaching job at Perth if Trevor's gone. But we'll find it in the off-season. Big off-season coming ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be a big off-season. We can talk about that later.
Another coach movement. Simon Mitchell is re-signing for one more year at the Phoenix. Right move by the Phoenix, Aiden?
The club team. I don't know what it is. It's a good option,
whatever you want to call it.
I don't know what we're calling it. Mutual option is not a thing. I agree with Cam. That is not a thing. It's not a club or player. There's no mutual.
Yeah. But what are your thoughts on Mitchell re-signing?
It's a good one. It's a three-year plan. He's always talked about his three-year plan. And they're in finals in his second year. So I reckon it's a good sign.
Yeah, I just think it'd be stupid to get rid of him after his second season when they make the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah. It'd be silly to get rid of him. Yeah, and as I was going to say, there's got to be rumours in the past couple of weeks that Gorgia was potentially going there, maybe someone else. So maybe they were looking to replace him, but Sam Mitchell was now locked in for that one more year. And right move.
Yeah, well, next season will be his make or break season.
Exactly. Unless he wins a championship this year, sign him up for three more years.
Ooh, be cool. I would still wait for next, because you never know.
If you win a championship against Melbourne United this year, the Phoenix, give him a contract extension. Dior Johnson to the NBL. Number one ranked point guard in the class of 2022. I don't know what year he would potentially play in the NBL, but he did release his top five. The day before he was going to announce his top five, I said, Aiden, I have a feeling, I'm not lying, I have a feeling he's got to put the NBL in his final options here. And I was right. And the reasons why I thought he was going to go to the NBL is he's been commenting on Josh Giddey's posts a lot. He's been, Corey Williams even put a tweet about him in 2019 saying, this 15-year-old kid, Dior Johnson, you can look it up, it's all up there. Corey Williams said this kid, Dior Johnson, 15-year-old, could be a potential next star in the future.
Next star. I don't think next star is even a thing when
they... Oh, no, it was. Oh, 2019. This is like when LaMelo just signed. So that's what I was thinking. He's going to the NBL, and he then overnight Yeah, overnight, top five, he puts Alabama, Washington, Oregon, Kentucky, and the NBL. Last five. And the big thing here, he is not considering the G League Ignite or the new overtime elite thing. So makes me believe he's really, really considering the NBL, which would be great to see a top American prospect coming down here.
I still feel like the G League's at the back of everyone's mind. I just haven't put it in there. I feel like that's still, I reckon that's his sixth option.
I'm hoping he, as I said before, I'm hoping he doesn't pull a Jalen Green where his final three is NBL and two college teams. And it's like, yeah, he's definitely coming to the NBL. Oh, no. Not going to any of those three. So hopefully he comes to the NBL. But who knows? You'd be
John Wall, go talk to him. Someone talk to him.
John Wall, we've got NBA owners everywhere. Maybe I don't know if anyone's in contact with him already, or he's just decided he wants to play in the NBL. I don't know if Jeremy Lolick has put him in an office saying, hey, become a Knicks owner in this league and we'll get negotiating if you agree. But at the moment, who knows? Who knows if he comes? But as I said, it would be great to have an American prospect, a top American prospect back in the league. Jack Jumpers, Tom Hurst, I love him. He does all the fantasy stuff for the NBL. Does the article for the best fantasy changes, et cetera, et cetera. But he did say, Jack Jumpers on Monday at 11:45, we're going to make a major, I'm going to highlight the word major announcement here. Now, when I think of major, Aiden, I'm thinking marquee player or at bare minimum, I'm thinking a big name NBA owner, right? What happens, Aiden? They announce a sponsorship with Spirit of Tasmania. And I'm not saying it's a bad announcement or it's a bad move. I mean, to have Spirit of Tasmania, the biggest, the most well-known brand in Tasmania, one of the most well-known brands in Tasmania on board of the Jack Jumpers is great. But I think we need a fine line to say what is a major announcement for the Jack Jumpers, because a lot of NBL fans, I put it out there on my Instagram story. I put the thinking emoji and the question. I wanted to see what people thought this major announcement could be. Every single person replied with a player. A player. Dior Johnson, Nick Kay, Deli, et cetera, et cetera, right? So, Tom Hurst, please don't. Say major announcement again. Say major sponsorship announcement, major player announcement, major, just come on. But anyway,
it is a good announcement for them. I'm glad they've got someone. Yeah,
exactly. Great announcement to have the Spirit of Tasmania as their principal partner, one of the big brands in
Melbourne as well.
But while we're talking about the Jack Jumpers, who will be their first player signing? First major player signing. Obviously, they got Sir Deans from the NBA Academy, a Tassie 18-year-old for a development player. But who will be their first marquee player? And I know everyone knows who it's potentially going to be, but who do you think, Aiden? Yeah.
I mean, Nikkei.
Everyone's saying Nikkei.
I'm leaning towards Nikkei after watching overtime. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I just think Nikkei is really close to that. To sign with the Jack Jumpers.
Well, it helps because he knows Scott Roth as well. That's the only reason why I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. He was worked under Scott Roth for the last couple of years. And he's a great player to start a franchise around. He's a great player to build your franchise around.
I feel like he'll be the most hot thing as well around the team.
Mind you, if you've heard the what Scott Roth has said in the news in Tasmania, he said that they're looking to announce some signings after the NBA season is finished. So maybe they are getting maybe Deli, probably not, but maybe their marquee player, maybe their marquee player could be a big name import. No one said that. It could be a big name import.
You never see that though. I've never seen a big name import as their first signing.
Because there's only been Phoenix in the last year and, you know, their first signing could be we saw with Brisbane. Brisbane was Campbell's.
Anthony's going to Tasmania.
Brisbane was Cam Bairstow. Phoenix was Mitch Creek. Jack Jumpers could be Nick Kay. But it could be
Cam Bairstow. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Brisbane's marquee signing was Cam Bairstow, yeah. But yeah, I think it will be Nick Kay. But who knows? Could be an import. They could be announcing everything at
Carmelo
once.
Carmelo Anthony, calling it now.
Not funny. You're not funny. You're not funny. But yeah, Nick Kay to the Jack Jumpers. That's the major announcement I want. That's the next. If anything, if the Jack Jumpers are announcing anything next, please be your marquee signing. Please. We want some players on that roster.
It has to be signing. It has to be some kind of signing. Aaron Armstrong will be a Tasmanian bowler. He will be in one of the DPs.
And I hope they get a next star as well, whether that's Daniels or whoever's coming.
Imagine that back in the young talent that team. That would be a deadly young team.
Moving on to the Boomers. Let's talk about Boomers now. Nathan Sobey finally took about 20-odd years to finally announce Sobey is in the 25-man Boomer squad. When he's better than almost half of the players in that 24-man squad anyway. But he's definitely, ever since he wasn't announced, he has been lights out. He's got to be all NBL first team player, averaging around 22 points per game. He has been unreal for the Bullets this season, despite them potentially not making the finals after the last poor performances. But
you said that he was doing good before he was announced. After he was announced, I reckon he's just gone down the cliff.
Before when the 24 man squad was announced, he started to just play like he's never played before. And now that he's been announced, he's not playing as well as he has been throughout the season. And the Bullets have had two smashings against top four teams. But a lot of people have been talking about their top 15. Obviously, we saw Olgan Ulick and Bogut release their top 15, their final 15 for the Boomer squad for the Olympics. Ed and I have put up together who we think our final 15 is. I've got six. I got one more player. I've got 16. I've broken the rules here, Aiden. Sorry.
You broke the rules up.
Do you want to go first with your 15 man Boomer squad? Mine first. All right. So my 15/16 man squad for the Boomers. I think the obvious starting five that everyone's been saying: Paddy Mills, Matisse Thybul, Joe Ingles, Ben Simmons, and Aaron Baines. I think that's the locked-in five there. You can really move Simmons that around. Plays. You can move Simmons at the one, Mills at the two, Thybul at the three, Ingles at the four. And it's just, you know, you can do a lot with it.
He will not play for the Boomers unless he's the one.
Who, Simmons?
Not have a team. If you don't put Ben Simmons at the one, he's not playing for the Boomers.
You can play at the four as well.
He can play the four, but he will not be playing if he doesn't get a ball in his hand.
It's up to Brian Gorgian. I don't think he minds if he's playing the one or the four, but either way, you've got lots of rotations. You can move around there. Great shooters with Thybul and Simmons with Mills and Ingles. I mean, it's just that's a podium finish team right there already in that starting five. But for the bench, backup point guard, I've got Dele pretty well locked in. If Fireball wasn't in the team, I would start Dele. Obviously the penny injuries of all players, but he will be 100% that backup point guard for the Boomers. Mm-hmm. Backup shooting guard, different one here. I'm going Chris Goulding. Need that shooting off the bench. He's got great experience. He has appeared in the last Olympics, the last World Cup, and he just knows how to play. Olympic basketball is more European like basketball than NBA basketball. It's kind of hard to describe, but with the 10-minute quarters, the FIBA rules, Gordon, I think, is well adapted to that, and he's got great experience. And as we saw this week against the Hawks, he had 25 and 7 threes in the first half. He can still flat out shoot the ball. So if they desperately need shooters, if Mills is not having a good night or Ingles, Gordon can come off the bench, knock down a couple of threes, and pretty decent defender as well. I think people undermine how good he is on the defensive end. So Gordon, backup shooting guard, backup small forward. It's a tough one to make, but I'm going Ryan Brokhoff. Even though he's had a tough NBL season with the Phoenix, with injuries, etc., I just don't see a better backup small forward for the Boomers. I mean, yeah, Marcus, you can say Creek, but Brockhoff, I'd still got to pick Brockhoff over Creek. It's just last Olympics, he has experience. I know he hasn't performed as well lately, but he's got better NBA experience. When he's on, he's on. So he does the little things, not just scoring the ball and getting huge stats. He does a lot of things on the court that not many people realize. So great defender off the ball, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he's real good backup small forward for the European, like, Olympics. Backup power forward, Nick Kay. After his last World Cup, definitely going Nick Kay. Backup center, I think, is obviously Jock Landale after his huge season with Melbourne. Should be in the NBA next season, but we'll see. And 11th and 12th spot. A lot of people have mixed and matched with this one. 11th and 12th spot. Josh Green. I'm going with him. He's got a bit of NBA experience this season. A young player and can do a lot. Great defender. Great scorer. He does a lot of good things. Quite young as well. And good preparation for the next Olympics, where I think he could start. And the other one, you might go yikes on this one. 12th man, I'm going Thornmaker. I know he hasn't played in like a year for a team, but he's still been working out. And if he has a good training camp and proves that he's still a third or fourth best big in that Boomers squad in the training camp, I think he could make the Olympic squad. I think he can show he's better than Isaac Humphrey, he's better than Will Magne, even better than Nick Kay, guys like that. I think he can show he's better than those guys. He just needs a big training camp. He needs to absolutely dominate that training camp. Dominate Aaron Baines. Just prove you're the best big in Australia. He was potentially going to be the best big in Australia, but now he's not on the NBA roster. But big training camp, and he's got to want to make that Olympic squad. If he makes that Olympic squad and plays the Olympics, he's got to get a good NBA deal. Simple as that. So I think Thornmaker's got to be working his bum off to get in that Olympic squad. The ones that missed out, I got four here. Dante Exum, Josh Giddey, Mitch Creek, and Humphreys. All I think could make it if they have good training camps. But Exum, I just think he's been injured for 5 years now. He's just pretty unreliable to put in that Olympic squad. Giddey, it's a tough one. A lot of people have been including him, but I honestly don't. I'd rather Josh Green and Gordon in this team. Green has a bit of NBA experience at the moment. Giddey doesn't, but I think Giddey is already a better player than Josh Green, but I've really gone for experience in this squad. And Creek Humphreys, I think they could both probably make it over Maker and Brockhoff. But yeah.
Well, Humphreys won't because he's injured.
But... yeah, Humphreys has been injured lately, so I don't think he'll make it. But Creek, yeah, we'll see. Yours. Right. What's your team?
I'll have a 16th person, but I'll go with my 15 that I originally had.
Yep.
So my locks, if Ben Simmons plays, which is still a maybe, Ben Simmons, Patty Mills, Ingles, Baines, and Landau. That five will be a
Landau.
Five.
Landau over Fireball.
Yeah, you don't have those five. Have you not seen a World Cup recently? You saw that Landau and Baines.
The problem is, you add Simmons in there, you got three guys over 6'10 in that lineup.
That's fine.
And you got barely any shooters. You got Mills and Ingles. Landau and Baines are.
Landau can shoot the damn ball. He's a European player. He can play it.
All right. Go on.
Joey is the backup point guard.
Yep.
Matisse for young talent. You know, you need his backup shooting guard. I'm wearing Mitch Creek. I think he's done more than rowdy than what you said. Mm. But.
Yep.
Nick Kay, we both agree with. Will Magnet, we're going to go with young talent. We're going to get seen in the future of the show.
I didn't even have him in my 15, yeah.
You're going to put Will Magnet at this backup center.
He hasn't been amazing for the Wildcats, but go on.
He hasn't been amazing, but he will be amazing during the World. He'll impress in that training camp, I bet you. Now, my 11th and 12th man, Josh Green, and shooting guard, or small forward. And yep. Giddey, that can play from point to like power forward. Like, he can play all four.
Giddey.
Yep. I reckon he can play all four.
So you don't have a backup big as a 12th man. Yeah, I think that's a problem. They need a big in case players get.
You can put Craig at the four if you wanted to, or Joe Ingles at the four. You could put those. You can flex.
Yeah, but if, yeah, and who are your three that miss just miss out?
Well, for four now since you've had 16, but I'll talk about. Yeah, Sobey's one of them. Sobey is a point guard that can play shooting guard. Rowdy's like you said, he's a made for European basketball, and the Olympics is European basketball. That's why he misses out. And Brock Bowden, I think Brock has done all right in Europe. I don't know. I haven't seen his stats, but.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think if Brock Bowden was in the NBL, it's crazy as it sounds, but if he was in the NBL, I think he would have a fair chance of making an Olympic squad. But
what's your issue? Is Angus Brandt in your squad?
Angus Brandt, that's a good question. I don't believe he is. I know guys like Duop Reith are in the squad.
Yeah, Duop
Reith. Will McDowell White are guys that definitely miss out.
My sixth man will be Zach Cooks.
Cooks miss out. There's a lot of... It's a good problem to have when you're excluding guys that are Brink NBA players or NBA players. Brandt did not make the squad.
Can make it.
Angus Brandt did not make the squad. But... Yeah. Anyway, there's our squads for the Olympics. Probably will change in a month's time anyway. But crazy as it sounds, with Fawn Maker in there for me. But yeah. Final thing for today, Aiden, is John Mooney made a post with Bryce Corn now for the last couple of regular season games. Does John Mooney have a case to win this most valuable? I'm not going to say best player in the league. Most valuable player. Can he win
it? Well, we talked about this last week, and we talked about how I still think he's got a chance. But I don't know. We saw how Perth played without Cotton.
Yeah.
Because it's all about value.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think he could win it.
Like we said, it was a Brownlow system, Mini would win. Because
we said it last week. Brownlow system, he could win. Looking at the stats, but now Cotton's out. Those extra three games for the Wildcats could mean he's could win that trophy. But
when did Perth play?
I just want to know who's voting. The only voters I know who are voting are Olga Nulick and Liam Santamaria. I don't know who else is voting.
Well, Jeremy would have a say in who he thinks, and Larry will both. They both will have a say in what
you reckon. I don't think so.
Have to. They can't.
I don't think so. I don't think they'll have a vote.
Michael Allen will come in and say who he thinks
is. Yeah, I know.
Well, I thought they needed one ref at least.
I just want to know the voting system in the NBL is a bit unclear to me. But I think Mooney is averaging 11 rebounds, 17 points. He's almost averaging as many assists as Cotton. But
MVP night.
Look, if the MVP is announced after the Grand Final series and John Mooney, by himself, without Cotton, takes the Wildcats to a championship, give him the trophy, you know?
Well, that's a big...
It's going to be really interesting with Cotton out now. Unfortunately, votes didn't count in the finals, but with Cotton out, it's really got to show you how valuable John Mooney is. And if he can take the Wildcats to the finals, to the championship, and average a double-double still... He could be MVP, and he will get a multi-year NBA contract.
If they go to the Grand Final, he will win Grand Final MVP if Cotton's not playing.
Yeah, well, who else is it going to be? Maybe Blanchfield, come on, who else is going to be in that team?
If Perth don't win it, Landale will win it for United or McCain, one of those two. I'm not having much faith in Chris. But
anyway, that's it for another episode of the NBL News Podcast. Aiden, you got anything else to add?
Nah, just stay safe, Victorians.
Hopefully everything
being tested, and
hopefully we get some games still in Melbourne and the schedule doesn't have to change itself when we're so close to the end. But thanks for listening to another episode, and we'll see you guys later.